realize that so far this week, we've had two videos about why grading is hard. Let's start talking about how you do it anyway, because although it's hard both at the large scale of uncertain goals of what we're accomplishing and at the small scale of difficult to elicit requirements about what the instructor actually wants a grade to do, we still are asked to grade. And there are some practicalities, some tips that can make grading go more smoothly. Let's talk about five of those tips today. First, share. Share, in particular, with other TAs. Share all of your decisions that you have to make. Well, clearly not all of your decisions, because you have to decide what grades to give each assignment. But general decisions, when you find yourself seeing a pattern or having to make a judgment call you expect others will have to make, share those with the other people that we're grading. We want consistent grades. We want all students that did the same amount of work to receive the same grade. And so that requires some sharing of these decisions, because in general, two different TAs will make different decisions without some sort of synchronization here. How do you go about sharing it? If you have some sort of course forum, perhaps a Piazza or the like, some system where you are sharing information generally, you might be able to do some sort of TA-only thread or channel in that space, right? Maybe you'll do this in some sort of social or chat app, like a Slack or a Discord or the like, whatever it is your course uses. You might also be able to do this just by doing some sort of shared document. There are various platforms out there like Google Docs where you can just make some document all of the TAs can see. In general, this should be a TA-only visible thing. Although in general, it's useful to share with the students how grading decisions are being made, getting down to the nitty-picky details can be distracting for students and can cause odd kinds of regrade requests and difficulties along the way. So share what you're doing. If there isn't an established way of doing it, create one and communicate with the other TAs so they understand how this happens. Number two, we talked about several things in the second video about different requirements you might want to elicit, but one of them is really important from a grading consistency standpoint, which is how to handle ambiguity. If two different TAs are grading in very different situations where the question is ambiguous, one giving a minimum of the possible points and one giving the max and so on, this can create huge disparities in grade accuracy and consistency and fairness between different students. So you need to find out how you're resolving ambiguity in this course on this assignment, which means you have to elicit that from the instructor and then follow whatever they say. How do you go about eliciting this information? There are various strategies, but the one I generally suggest is going from the specific generalized. What do I mean by this? I mean, take an actual example from the assessment, an actual student problem, but ask it in a more general way. For example, let's suppose that you have a true-false test where somebody wrote something like this. And maybe it's a T that just they happen to bump the pin on the paper, and maybe it's an F, and okay? Ask about this, but ask about it in a way that gives you a general principle. So instead of saying, what should I do with this symbol? Say instead, I have somebody who wrote something that might be a T and might be an F. Should I assume they wrote the right one? Or should I assume they wrote the wrong one? Or should I try to analyze their handwriting and figure out which one I think they meant? The answer to that general question about the specific problem can often teach you the general principle to follow about ambiguity. The specific problem helps the instructor or whoever you're asking think about this and formulate their answer. The general posing helps you learn something you can apply in other places. And then, as you come up with this general thing, share that with the other TAs. Put it in the document that if, you know, this sort of generalized position, if they wrote something we can't understand, grade it as if they wrote the wrong answer or whatever that general answer was. Number three, rubrics. Rubrics are an important part of consistent, efficient, and fair grading. And rubrics that are given by instructors vary a great deal in quality. Even instructors that understand how to write excellent rubrics often don't spend the time. Rubrics are easier to design in many cases after you've seen a few submissions, and so perhaps a rubric isn't ready in advance. And some instructors just don't create good rubrics or create big bucket rubrics. A rubric gives you rules to follow. This is really important to avoid implicit bias as well as for other sorts of fairness things. It gives you this algorithm to follow in grading. You want your algorithm to have the same resolution as your grader discretion. So you in general want an item per point. Is my general guidance. This is not the only good way of writing rubrics. Rubric design is a complicated question object, but if you have some rubric that says there's 10 points for this problem, I would suggest that you share I gave a point for this, I will give 1 point for X, and 1 point for Y, 1 point for Z, and so on. Create a rubric, share it with the other people. How do you go about creating it? There's different ways of doing this, but very often just trying to decide where should a point go, what kind of mistakes do I think people might make, what am I trying to measure, if you've elicited that from the instructor as well, and trying to make a rubric that fits works. Now, when you create such a rubric, there's a reasonable chance somebody will look at it and say, I disagree. That's fine. Having an example rubric that people can disagree with can help resolve out those disagreements and create a better rubric. Don't be afraid to do this. I've never known an instructor to be upset when a TA suggests a rubric or suggests a refinement of a rubric. If you don't have a good one out there, make one. Number 4, avoid double jeopardy. Double jeopardy is where a student gets penalized in multiple places for the same mistake. And sometimes, of course, this is appropriate. If their mistake is they can't write code in a class where they're supposed to write code, they deserve to lose a lot of points, but often it's not. A well-designed rubric has less chance of double jeopardy, as each rubric item is somewhat independent. But even the best-designed rubric, there'll still be that unusual student that is missing something that is atypical to be missing and has a large number of effects. When you notice such a student, you should ask the instructor if they really want the points to be lost from everybody that's getting this. And if the answer is no, they shouldn't, then you should give them back some of the points. If possible, try to establish the pattern of what kind of mistakes you're giving, how much points back for. You might even talk about the specific mistake and how you're doing that. And you should also comment. You should communicate to the student that although by the rubric they should have lost points in all of the questions, because it's all caused by the same misunderstanding, you're only removing a subset of those points. This is important both from the student's standpoint, so they understand they made the mistake multiple places and that it is indeed a mistake multiple places even if they didn't get the points off everywhere, and also so that when they're interacting with their friends, if their friends made that mistake only one place and they happen to be comparing rubrics, this comment can help clarify why it may appear that different students are graded on different standards. So if you're going to do some sort of double jeopardy reduction process for a particular student, make sure you explain how in some way the student can understand so they can continue to learn and so that the fairness of grading is evident to the students. And that, of course, leads us to the 5th point, comments. Almost all of the grading we do in our department has some form of comment ability. Perhaps you can write directly on their paper. We may have a digital system where you can write. You may have a comment box, but there's almost always some way of giving feedback. What kind of feedback should you give? First, you should not be redundant. Okay? If the student is going to see the rubric, you don't need to repeat the rubric. If the student is going to see the key, you don't need to repeat the key. If the student isn't going to see the rubric or isn't going to see any of these aspects, anything, then of course it is useful to give that information. Hopefully the instructor has decided what to share carefully and you should follow those decisions. So if the instructor has decided keys will not be released, even to the students that took the test, then you probably shouldn't put the key piecemeal in an individual student's test, okay? So try not to be redundant with information that's already around. Also, be nice. You shouldn't say things like, you did really poorly, I'm worried about how you're standing in the course, maybe you should consider dropping the course, the drop deadline's next week. Those kinds of comments are not useful. They can cause a depression, a sense that the student did worse than they actually did. These are not things to do. But while being nice, you should also be honest. Sometimes it's tempting when you see a student that messed up in a lot of places and you just feel for them. You feel like, oh no, I would hate to get a 30%. What can I say to cheer the student up? It's tempting to say things like, good job, or the like. And you're like, well, if it wasn't a good job, don't tell them it was. That kind of mixed messaging can be confusing to students and further distract them. Saying they did well and giving them a bad number can be a really stressful thing. So don't be mean, but also be honest and find that right balance as best you can. There's one particular kind of feedback, you should kind of feedback, that you should always ask the instructor before giving. Sometimes as you're reading along, you realize there is a missing thing, they really need to visit with the TAs and we can explain this, and you feel like putting that on the test. Ask the instructor before you do that. Sometimes that's the right place to do that, but often there's a different avenue. Seeing injunctions about what students should do while they're looking at already poorly graded tests can be even more disheartening. And so you should try to avoid doing that if there's a different avenue the instructor would have instead. So if you feel like giving direct advice, ask the instructor what channel they want that device to go through. So these are our practicalities. Share what you do with other TAs. Understand how to resolve ambiguity and make sure all of the TAs are on the same page about that. Have good itemized rubrics, and if they aren't itemized now, create some sort of itemized rubric and share that with the other graders that will be handling things. Avoid double jeopardy, and if your rubric fails to avoid double jeopardy and some students being dinged many times for the same mistake, ask the instructor if you can give them some points back, and if they can't, you can comment on that. And when commenting, avoid redundancy, be honest and nice, and ask before you tell the students what they should do. With these tips, grading is still never going to be easy. We have these challenges we talked about in the other videos. But with these, it can be a lot more smooth than it would be otherwise, and help the students learn and the course run smoothly.